poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to the radio show that's smooth like a baby's bud. It's World Poetry Open Mic. And tonight is such a special night. It's the beginning of Poetry Month, National Poetry Month here in the States. So I hope you all have your pens ready and you're writing it out this month. I know I'm writing it out already this month. As per usual, on my left-hand side, and as per unusual, he's on my right-hand side, too. That's because he's directly across from me. He is the one, the only, Michael Amade.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. The studio's just a bit empty today.
It's a little bit empty. We're missing a little bit of hair. Squatchness. Yeah, I'm hair in here. There's a severe lack of hair, and not just because I'm in the room.
Yes. Well, no, it's because, the half-squatch isn't. With us.
Yeah, he's not here. He is actually
at Good Friday celebration.
Yeah, well, he's at the service this evening, and it's something that was very important for him and his wife to be able to go do, and we respect that.
Yeah, we all wanted to go do something with our perspective religions, and we figured we'd draw straws, and JT got the short one, so he had to go. The rest of us will remain here and be heathens and do a poetry show.
I think I just kind of fall into the heathen thing immediately. So,
well, there you go.
So we've got a lot of great things tonight. We've got submissions. We have a new poet of the month we're going to announce.
Real shortly.
And we're doing After Dark.
And we're doing After Dark on Good Friday.
That's right. Oh, yeah. It's a little bit ... cheeky. But, yes. it's there. It's not on purpose, obviously. It's just how it fell.
Yeah. All right, so before we get started, I do need to let you know, you saw them on the way in, our advertisers. We've got Good Morning Snore Solution. If you have problems snoring, now I joke around about it, but my wife really does complain about my snoring, and it keeps her up. Definitely check out this appliance. It does help out if you want to get a good night's sleep yourself or someone next to you to get a good night's sleep. Check them out, Good Morning Snore Solution. Also, we've got KNET Books. And they're awesome, and I joke around about the physics and everything. Literally anything you want to learn. If you want to learn mechanics, if you want to learn any vocation, check them out. You can get the college-level books, rent them, read them, use them, and then return them. And then, of course, our longest supporter, NatureBox.com. Now, you want something natural, healthy to eat, something without GMOs, without glutens, without sugar, you're going to want to check out NatureBox.com, their subscription service. Sign up for the subscription and let your taste bud do the dance of delight. All right. That being said, I can't wait. I gotta let it loose. Not the After Dark. I'm talking about the World Poetry Open Mic.
The poet of the month. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm trying to work out the board here. Give me one second.
All right.
I mean, this is our poet of the month, but no?
No.
Okay, we're good.
All right. So, without any further ado, we picked someone very special, someone that's been with the show for a long time as our World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month for National Poetry Month. However, he's not part of this nation. He is located in Kolkata, India. He is Raj Kumar. He's been submitting, and he's called the show. He's been a long supporter of the show. Congratulations, Raj. You are World Poetry Open Mic's Poet of the Month for National Poetry Month 2015.
Congratulations, Raj.
Yeah! All right. Without any...
I got it. I'm working it out.
You were entertainers, you slow-witted oaf.
What are you doing over there?
I'm not sure what buttons I'm pushing.
The plop we can get away with. That other one will get us sued. Yeah. All right. What are you touching over there?
Something. I'm not sure what that was.
So, you want to call and share your poetry on National Poetry Month, we want to hear you call and share your poetry. So what you need is a phone number to call, and that number is 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. We're also going to be reading some submissions that have been sent to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com during each segment.
All right, call now. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, things are falling apart without the Hasquatch. We normally get this phone line in order, and we have kind of lost control of everything. So if you don't actually come up in the order in which we told you, please forgive us. We're trying to muddle through without our producer extraordinaire. If you're trying to call in, you're going to want to call in during the second segment, because this segment is full. We're about to ready to launch through, what, 12 of the best poets around?
13.
13?
13.
Really?
The best poets,
good
yeah.
God.
It's pretty intense. So at any rate, so guys, Holly, I apologize for any craziness.
Yeah, Holly and the new caller that was calling, hold on to your calls. We're going to be doing a second segment and a third segment, so hang in there, all right, guys? All right, so without any further ado, we're going to try and get through these calls as quick as possible so we can get as many people to share their poetry. Please welcome from Pennsylvania, she is Ellie. Ellie, are you there?
I am, Dave Todd. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's Easter time and that time of year.
Yes. Yes, it is.
How are you? Are you doing okay? Your family and everybody?
Oh, you know, the family's doing good. In fact, it looks like the family's growing. We've got a lot of callers tonight.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. That's always a wonderful thing. Hear all the new poets that come in, too, you know?
Yes. What do you have for us tonight?
It's a poem called Breathe of Love.
Okay.
Sunlight dapples summer's fullness, canopied in leafy splendor shade. Once in early spring, love lingered on a moment's soft, mossy hour. Budding the thus begun full of spring, love blossomed through the years. Seasons came and seasons leaving. Love remained where it began, lingered beyond all seasons waning. Here, the beauty breathes love's living, returning, remembering love's first hour. When, in leafy glade of yesteryears, nature loved first kiss so keeping, midst trees of lake and moss of green, held caressing as verdant bliss.
Very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. It's always good to be happy Friday night and be here with all my good friends.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you here. Great way to start us off, as usual.
Yeah, it's a privilege and an honor, as always.
Ellie, thank you for being a long supporter of our show, and happy Easter to you and yours.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Easter to you and Michael, and God bless you. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you again soon.
We love you too.
That was Ellie on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. No, are we out of baseballs?
Dude, I only have two arms.
And you only have two thumbs.
All right, here. Wait, see, not even that. That doesn't
right.
work.
That's all right. That's all right.
No, this is fun. This is like,
okay,
it's
there
like
we go.
Learning an entirely new language and trying to keep up right now.
It is. That's all right. You're not normally the producer here, so I'm okay with that. So, without any further ado, we're going to go to caller number two. She's from Connecticut. Please welcome Barbara.
Hold on.
I'm pushing Michael a little hard here.
No. We lost Barbara.
We lost Barbara?
Yeah.
All right. Barbara, you're going to want to call back during the second segment. Let's go ahead and just keep moving along. Let's try Mariah in Texas.
Let's try Mariah here. And one second here. Getting ready here.
And now let's try Mariah in Texas.
Hello, Mariah, you there?
Hello.
Oh, I got it.
There we go. Mariah, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh.
Wow. You know what? Mike only has two thumbs, and we're used to a guy that's got nine thumbs that are running the things. And
you know what? I didn't appreciate what he does as much as he's right now. Each of his toes are doing something kind of important. It looks like.
Yes, it is.
It's crazy. There's really way more buttons in way more places than I would expect here.
Yes. So the shark.
I'm glad I don't have your job.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just figuring it out right now.
he's getting his rhythm. Mariah, do you have a poem for us?
I do. Okay, let's go with this one. I had to dig into my archives this week. I haven't written anything new for a while. But hopefully that'll change because it is National Poetry Month.
It is.
Yeah, like the best month ever, and it also happens to be my husband's birthday month.
It's Christmas, it's birthday, it's Easter, it's all the holidays rolled into one because you can just write until your heart's content.
And I get to go see Gabriel Iglesias.
Nice. Gabriel, is that Enrique's brother?
He's a comedian.
Oh.
Yeah, well, not the same.
I thought Pitbull was going to be on stage with him wrapping up a story.
Let's be honest. Pitbull's on stage with everybody.
Yes.
Okay? You're going to want to look him up. He's hilarious.
Don't say the name Pitbull three times because he'll come crashing through the wall like the Kool-Aid guy and start rapping. So
We don't want to do that.
Hey, okay. On to poetry.
All right.
This one wrote 2 years ago. It's called Between Silences. Hands that quiver and tempers that fly, flashes of emotion hidden behind closed doors. Nods hello and waves goodbye. Heed no closer look, merely glancing at the outside facade. Pleasantries exchanged with smiles and all the truth of a champion poker player dealt a mediocre hand. Reality masked in secrecy, as thick as Shanghai fog. Comfort thoughts in the solidity of silence. End poem.
All right, left toe on the microphone button, right hand on the Skype button,
and I'm going to be typing in the chat room with my elbow.
Well, yeah,
which has got me in trouble in the past, but you know, yeah, try it.
he types with the lisp when he types with his elbows.
my elbows have an accent. Mariah, that was great. Thank you so much.
Very well done, Mariah.
Yeah.
That was Mariah and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Wait for it. All right.
There you go.
Check it out.
See, that was quicker that time. You're getting it.
I'm getting there.
You are getting there.
Slowly.
So, wow, I did not know what a vital part of our team, Mr. Half Squatch, was.
Well, you didn't know what part?
Well, I mean, I knew he was a vital part, but I mean, to see someone else try to do what he does, holy cow, it's like comedic performance art.
It kind of is like that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's pretty crazy. Now, Barbara, once again, I'm sorry. I think it was me screwing up there.
We'll bump you to the top of the next round.
We'll get you there for sure.
All right. But right now we've got coming up, she's from Georgia, for calling for the second week in a row. Please welcome Holly.
Okay,
hi. Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. Up to you.
Oh, you know, listening to some of the best poets around on National Poetry Month.
Oh, including me.
I'm including you in that comment. You're a good poet.
But yeah, I mean, April is definitely the month to write poetry because spring is in the air, love is in the air, and might as well catch some of it.
Exactly. And we've got After Dark coming up later, too.
That's right.
Cool.
We might catch a little bit. I'm going to be honest here, man. We're going to catch a little bit of heat for that because, but I mean, the thing is we didn't put it on Good Friday because it's Good Friday.
We put it on Friday because we do it the first Friday of every month.
Right. Yeah. We do the cycle of the whole thing. So, but it's what it is. So at any rate, we might catch some heat for it, but hey, we're okay with criticism. You should see the emails we get.
You should see the emails we get.
But anyway, Holly,
go ahead and it's your turn to share your poetry. What are you going to share with us?
Alrighty. This one's called Summer Causes. I lost the fever for you, fraught with summer causes, on a frozen uphill Friday. An easy jaunt for a long-legged, spring-built dreamer. Thirst for rural heat blazed to the core of you, a sidewalk dandyweed whose wilting wrinkles no raindrop kiss could heal. Prayers for plateaus, for warmth and somber tunes, are yesterday's hollow truths, so solemn in their viscosity, but numb by today's resolve. Scarf draped, coat zipped, I left you to a roadside gutter. All silence, all worry, all fear, implanted a rambling rose to flourish in urban frost. End poem.
Very well done.
Thank you.
See, I wasn't wrong in including you in some of the best poets around. I'm glad you call our show and share with us.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Holly, that was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That was Holly on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow, that was Boom. On it.
Boom.
See, now we're getting you programmed. The minute I started Next Evolution, man, you're rolling that chair over there to grab that baseball and throw it in a bucket.
Well, I got this baseball here, but then I also have this kind of cool thing where I can hit like a.
Oh, that sounded cool. What,
yeah. You're an absolute shah.
What? That one's gonna get us a lawsuit, dude.
What? No, it won't.
Those are copyrighted.
All right.
Whatever. All right. So, from Georgia, we're going to go up to the unofficial poet state. For the longest supporter of our show, please welcome Dennis from Michigan.
Hello, Dennis. Are you there, sir?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Dennis.
How are you?
I'm doing great. This is National Poetry Month, and we are celebrating.
I'm telling you, man. I feel fit to be tied at this point. No, really, somebody time me.
I don't have the hands for it, okay? All right. That just got
Thank
awkward.
You.
Yes.
Thank you for picking Raj Kumar as a poet of the month. He's a great choice. He reaches out across the world to be a part of this, and I'm sure he will appreciate it.
Well, a lot of thought went to it. We had a lot of good suggestions. But to be honest, we were at our meeting on Wednesday, and Mike just said, it has to be Raj. And I'm like, I totally agree.
Well, that's a good pick. I don't know if you know this, but tomorrow, April 4th, is the anniversary of Maya Angelou's birthday. So in her honor, I would like to read a cover poem of hers.
Nice.
And I'm sure it's familiar with most of the poets that will be listening. The title is I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Nice.
By Maya Angelou. The free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the currents end and dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down through his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped, his feet are tied, so he opens up his throat to sing. The cage bird sings with a fearful trill of the things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade winds soft through the sighing trees and the fat worms waiting on dawn's bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But a caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a mid-nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so so he opens up his throat to sing. The cage bird sings with a fearful trill of things unknown but longed for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the cage bird sings of freedom. The end.
Wow. Nice read, my friend.
Well, thank you. I stumbled through it a little bit, but it's a great poem and great sentiment, and she was such a great and graceful lady, and we miss her being passed just recently.
Yes, and for those that weren't part of it, we actually, that was the one poet that passed that made us call an emergency session of World Poetry Open Mic and do it on a Thursday night.
That's right.
Yeah.
We did.
Very well done, Dennis.
All right. Well, I'll step aside, let the next poet step up, and we're going to have a great night of poetry as usual. So let's carry on. God bless you all.
God bless you, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Now you're getting the swing of things. Yeah. You're just right. Owning it now.
Well, we'll see how this continues here.
You keep it up at that pace, man. We're going to call you the second best producer on the show.
I will not rest until I'm the best.
All right. From Michigan.
No. We are going all the way across the pond.
That's what I said. From Michigan, we're going to go across the pond to England. Please welcome longtime supporter of the show. He is Titus. Titus, are you there, my friend?
I'm here, JT. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
Yes, brilliant. Thank you. It's nice to hear you again.
Yes, and it's great to hear you on our show again.
Yes, and well done on your poetry month. You know, I thought this Englishman should ring and contribute, so to speak, to celebrate it. And well done to Raj for his Poet of the Month.
Yes.
I'm reading a piece of history for you this morning. Shakespeare died on the 23rd of April, which was 3 days before his birthday. And after signing his will, a document which he begins to describe himself as being in perfect health. Shakespeare was with Drayton and Ben Jonson, and they was having a merry meeting. It seems they got drunk somewhat. And he was celebrating three days prior to his birthday, because it was Saturday. And after that drinking binge, he further contracted fever, dying soon afterwards. So that's the history there.
Okay.
And I'm giving you two sonnets, which actually sort of like make one poem, about that drunken binge. It's almost as if Shakespeare knew that he was about to die.
Okay.
It's called Three Noble Kinsmen, 1616. Each year it would uncover reach and age to replicate these times, the slowing of, amongst a sonnet's claim of courtly love, denied amongst the secrets such a phage. I'll store as much with words a file chose, regardless of our swilling, nature bides. A time to think instead of drink, besides, our ill fate, I have considered death it knows. Foremost, I will conclude aright from wrong. My birthday doth approach, indeed denied, that age and I the master stroke confide in death that's one's disaster drink too long. That name I have but uttered should at best be grave concern that I'd invite that guest. It truly would account who has been told that truth be shared, that drink will able one to speak of truth as proof of it should shun the signs where not so obvious are sold. Compare to which accustomed to age prime, considered age holds grace, those nobles are, as kinsmen, love of brethren, friends are far, from reading death no proof of it this time, I've yet to write my last of three who do, account the loss of lives the corpus pays, collective must lambast the last few days, to sign that willed encounter 52, whose burden from this chair to anywhere, could ask if death be there to have compare. That's it, gentlemen.
Very well done.
You'll have to forgive me. It was in slight Shakespearean tone, I guess.
No, that was slight. Yeah. No, very well done. I agree with our producer who's not here. I could sit and listen to you read pretty much all night long.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Titus Poetry Open Mic.
Yeah.
And there I was thinking my voice lets me down.
Oh, no. Your voice does not let you down. Your diction does not let you down. Your accent does not let you down. You're just great at spoken word art, my friend.
Oh, well, anyway, thank you. It was an honor to follow Dennis, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the powerhouse duo there. Thank you very much, Titus.
Okay. Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Titus on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on. Oh, now he's calling his shots. He's like, oh, I'll just point to the ceiling when I get skadoosh.
It's kind of like Babe Ruth pointing to the right field. You know?
You're getting the rhythm of things, and it's becoming kind of like the Wolf of Wall Street, and you're just owning it.
I'm all about the rhythm method, my friend.
That's what I've heard. Anyway. That's for a segment to be named later.
Good Friday. Don't tell those jokes right
the
now.
The best Friday.
That's it, you know? Yeah. Let's make this the best Friday.
Yes.
Why are we setting our sights so low?
Exactly. Why should it just be good when it can be great? Of course, when World Poetry Open Mic's on the air, every Friday is a great Friday.
Yes, that's true.
All right. And someone else that's going to make it even greater, please welcome from New York, she is Lorraine. Lorraine, are you there?
I am here. I get the feeling you guys are very busy tonight, and I want to encourage anyone who is, you know, considering this, please call in. It's very therapeutic and cathartic on all levels. I'm going to go right to my poem. I'm taking you back in time. The year is 1970. The month is May, and okay. This is called To My Father. I sat quietly staring at the tubes that fed him the air that kept him alive. He looked like he was sleeping. I knew his lungs were not awake, not doing what they should be doing. I stared at the small narrow tubes that held the oxygen, and I wondered if he felt them, if they hurt, if he knew they were there keeping him alive. And then I wondered if he cared. Did he hear the hushed voices when the nurses fussed over him, changing bed linens, checking IVs, adding a warm blanket, turning him ever so slightly so his body would not develop sores, removing what had to be removed, replacing what had to be replaced. And after lightly patting his arm, they would leave, returning to the real world of sights and sounds and people. People who spoke, people who smiled, people who laughed, people who cried, people, not patients with spasms or fractures or disease. What a strange concept life is. We equate it to feelings, but what feelings exist in suspension, in comas, in repose? I stiffened against the back of the bedside chair I sat in. All was silent now. Except for his breathing. His chest rose and fell with deliberate rhythm. And I wondered if he knew I was there, next to him. Did he sense my sadness, my regrets, my fears? Did he already know what I wanted to say to him all these years? How I felt robbed of that opportunity, that lost time. How I longed to show him how much I loved him, how much I needed him, how much I wanted him back the way he was. I needed him fully restored. But I knew that would not happen. So I reached for his hand and brought it up to my face and whispered.
Very well done.
Thank you. That was hard.
It is a hard one. And that. It was great of you to share.
Did you get my email, JT?
I get a slew of emails.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of my weird mornings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to you next hour.
We'll talk to you in about an hour. Thank you, Lorraine.
Sounds great. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice.
There we are. Now, check this out. Watch this. Check that out. I'm skipping them now.
What?
That's crazy.
How do you skip a baseball?
How do you skip a baseball? I wish I knew, except that I'm doing it myself. It's just the awesomeness coming out.
You're not even looking and you're skipping the baseball.
I think if I look, it would actually screw things up a little bit.
Hell, our half squatch with nine thumbs can't even
skip. That's because he's having to think about what else to do with the other eight thumbs.
There you go.
You use one to put a spin on it.
There you go.
That's how this works.
You know what? I've got to say, he's probably listening to us live. He's probably driving back, and he's going to come downstairs, and you know that look he gets on his face, and he's going to be like, get the hell out of my chair.
It's going to be a professional wrestler thing where he's going to be running down and start hitting me with the folding chair.
Exactly.
Like that. I expect that, actually. I've started expecting that more and more from lots of people. Seeing that I was attacked.
Smell what the squatch is cooking.
Seeing that I was hit with a chain by surprise this week.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I'm getting attacked this week and all kinds of things.
Crazy.
So, whatever.
All right, so
moving on,
we're going to go to the next poet. Please welcome from New Hampshire. She is Jalorian. Jalorian, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
I am here. Yes.
And you're going to share a poem with us tonight? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you broke up for a moment. Are you going to share a poem with us tonight?
I am going to share a poem with us tonight, yes.
Awesome.
All right. This piece is called Dark Lover.
All right.
Who's there, she calls, and lifts her head from her softly pillowed bed, peering through the inky gloom as shadows dance about the room. Who's there? Again, the plaintive cry escapes her as a mournful sigh that seems to linger on her lips like velvet-coated fingertips. A curtain billows with a breeze, and then her blood begins to freeze as movement by the dim hearthstone reveals that she is not alone. Who's there? She once again inquires as in the light of dying fires, a cowled head, a heavy cloak takes form as if from mist or smoke. Oh, it's you. It's in her voice. She knows her mind. She's made her choice. Her fragile heart begins to race. She lifts her arms as to embrace the figure that comes near her bread, then slips the hood back from his head, so close that she can feel his breath. She stares into the face of death. His countenance, a stark relief of passion, hunger, joy, and grief, and burning eyes and sallow skin, inviting her to let him in. His bone-white fingers, soft caressed of wrinkled throat and withered breast, caused passions long asleep to rise. She gazes into coal black eyes that seem to drink her very soul and harvest her now that she's old. She laughs and tosses back her head. Long white hair spills across her bed and feels his mouth upon her flesh as he begins to swiftly thresh essence from sinew, spirit from bone. He takes his love, her love, and gives his own. Mouth on mouth and skin on skin, in passion's frenzy, he breathes her in. And when he lays her down again on soft and silken counterpane with no redeeming spark of life, he's taken her to be his wife, who stands beside her own deathbed and gazes at her face, now dead, her spiritual raiments thus bestowed of golden hair and youthful glow, sheltered from all earthly harm as he enfolds her in his arms, and on his great pale horse they ride and journey to the other side. And
very well done. You should
thank you
should probably record an album, because that was some great voice work there.
Well, thank you.
Do you speak professionally? Do you do any voiceover work?
I used to be a receptionist.
Well, that's considered some voiceover work. No, I've got to say, it's very reminiscent of a narrator I know out of New York. She used to perform with a band called KMFDM, and then she does voiceovers for, like, ID Discovery Channel. And I was like, when I was hearing your voice, I was like, that's that cool. And then, no. So, Jalorian, very well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please call back again.
I will. Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
That was Jalorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And that's it. That's what we're about, spoken word art.
Exactly. No, oh, yeah. That's really it. No, it's funny. I can't really make as many comments because my arms are like flying.
You're
around.
Italian. You should be used to using your arms while talking.
I'm used to using my arms when I'm talking. You stop one, you can't do the other.
I know.
You keep my arms busy with something else, I can't really talk that much.
All right. So, from New Hampshire, we're going to go to Tennessee. We need a little dose of energy tonight.
Maybe wizard energy. What do you think?
I think that would be a great thing. Lady Anne, are you with us?
Oh, yes. Hold on. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can. Wow, that was great.
That was quick, too. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Of course, wizard energy is high on energy and very high on life.
Wonderful.
Yes. And as always, I have a little bit to say, so I'll say it real quick, because this is a very, very important day for all of us. So I'll just go in order. I've written it down so I can do it quick, okay?
All right.
Number one, to the Jewish community and to my beloved sister Rhonda Buck in Scottsdale, Arizona, I wish all of you a happy Passover week. My prayers and blessings and everlasting light may shine on you. To Stella Yamuni, Desiree Anthony, and her family, David, George, and Grace, I wish you a very blessed Easter. And also to my family, Eileen Ugalde, Rosemarie Ugalde, and the head of my family, Rosa Maria Ugalde, I wish you a very blessed Easter, and my heart and prayers are with you. I am there with you in spirit. And last but not least, to my normal hellos, Rock and Roll Cowboy, my noodle nut in England, and Chris in Lansing, Michigan. But tonight is a special night. My favorite man, and believe me, that's a loose term for this particular sentence, but at a moment when I was going to give up, and when I say give up, I want you to know that I'm a very determined woman, and I do what I say I'm going to do. And at a moment when I was just about to give up my whole life, everything I wanted, and everything I was working toward, this man saved me with a few simple words. His name is Dr. Colin D. Young. He is the Associate Personality Psych Professor at the University of Minnesota. I was his student, and I did an independent study with class as well as the Pike Personality Psych class. But he became a very cherished friend because of those few words when he saved me that night. And today is his birthday, and he is on leave in New Zealand, but he is tuned into the show. So to Colin, I say hello, happy birthday, a safe journey home, and your present is waiting for you. But I told you I would shout out on your birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday, and, Colin.
Yes, he was a man that truly... Oh, and he writes poetry. Oh, my God, I should get him to write into one recalling. So he wrote some poetry that's phenomenal. But tonight I've had a little bit of a trouble deciding which poem to read. So I've got it down to two. I think I'm going to choose the paper, the pen, and the author. Okay. Now, this is a poem about the desires and happiness of an author as he forms genius on paper. I wrote it 14 months ago. I read it once before on your show, but I'd like to dedicate this poem to the month. So I think I'll choose this one tonight. Everybody okay with that?
Fine with it.
Okay, great. I hope you like this poem because it speaks about all of us who cherish our words and who cherish what we create. So, tonight, dedicated to this month and to World Poetry Open Mic, I give you The Pen, The Paper, The Pen, and The Author by Lady Anne, 68. All right, here we go. The paper is the ground. It grows with strong words for foundations. It exists without sound, preparing to be the author's supplemental creations. Its other half is the pen in place, its lettering produced bold and black, an instrument of beauty and grace, sharp lettering on paper in contrast. As the everlasting words are forming, which variables to use still uncertain, through a cherished moment caught adorning, style to describe it is being determined. From deep within the mind comes rushing framing of thoughts, ever endless, an author will find only the words are felt, not taught. From deep inside the heart, the author's mix of chance, whether fiction, nonfiction, from the start, he depicts loving antidotes of romance. From deep inside the author's soul comes the truth, pain or not. Basically a collection or a bowl of life and love that are never forgot. The author is the last in spirit. He reads the words of his desires, like music to his ear, like only he can hear it. Caress the feeling once written, never expires. The message is to all you poets, keep it up. I hope you all like that poem. Did you like it?
Yes.
Anything, was it appropriate for tonight?
It is quite appropriate for tonight. Anything that proliferates creation, I am all for.
Well, that was a very special poem, and I want you to know that particular poem won the international contest for me, by the way.
Nice.
But, yeah, that was really cool. I brought home the gold for USA. I mean, it was a little contest. It was nothing much, but still, it was against other countries.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that was really cool. I brought it home. That's the poem. And that's why I dedicated that tonight to all of you. And to all of you in the show, thank you for having this show tonight. You could have taken the night off, but I'm so grateful that you didn't. And I wish all of you a happy and religious experience and holiday. Remember that this is our rebirth, and this is when we can wipe the slate clean, make amends, do the right thing, damage repairs, everything. And on Monday, we all start out fresh. Everybody starts out fresh, white and clean and pure.
There you go.
Yes, and so happy writing to everybody. And Cynthia, I forgot to say hello to Cynthia. Oh, and congratulations to the new poet of the month. What was his name?
Raj Kumar.
Raj, yes, congratulations. I would like to hear one of his poems.
Are you going to. You're going to.
Oh, okay. Don't worry. Yeah.
Don't worry. You're going to hear some Raj Kumar.
Okay, that's right. Terrific. And thank you,
Lady
Ann. For letting me be on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That was Lady Ann of World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. What? Morse code and then the drop?
That's my impersonation of a submarine. You like that?
Yeah. So, that was weird. Anyway, we just had this weird thing pop up on our computer. I apologize. We're going to go on to our next caller. He's from Kentucky. Rapidly becoming a fixture to our show. Somebody that I enjoy their work as well. Please welcome Philip.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to our show, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Is this JT?
This is J. Todd, yes.
J. Todd, how are you tonight, sir?
Doing good. It's very confusing. We've got a JT, we've got a J. Todd. Some people call me JT, even though I'm a J. Todd.
And people just call me Jackass, so no one needs to worry about me.
Right. Well, I hope you guys have heard some good poetry tonight, and I hope to contribute my own voice tonight. So I have one called Honing One's Voice Against Monotheism.
Okay.
And I've dedicated this one to a lovely lady. I say, for my lovely mathematical princess, Odette. And here it goes. Walking past the Cambrian period, my words arranged between 0 and 1, or in poor imitation of Ramanujan's gorgeous fractions, inspired by something I cannot name. Everyone their pain I cry enough, and free them like butterflies that collect myriad. Stained glass recalled from churches as though Chagall, so immaculate that dreamy blue. I weep tears of pollen and dust and genocide ashes and infant bones forgotten, this mythos newly arisen. I witness permutations as migrations, away they to warmer places paradisal, all the names I graph with algorithms, secret and sacred, endless, ceaseless, this emotion, as though beloved fairy tales told by one whose voice is love, love, love. I and I alone speak parables, as though you ignore or listen, here is Nirvana, here is Eden, reborn by every atom counted, that off and on and off and on, like 0 and 1 and 0 and 1, onward the all that throbs. And there it is.
Very well done.
Thank you, sir.
Again, Wow. Just great poets calling our show tonight, sharing great work.
I know. Isn't that great? I'm really, we feel so blessed every time we have a show because we get to hear so much great work. It's just culture coming in every night. We're making time to share what we've written, to share the things that affect us, but also to just take in some culture.
Yes. And yours was very cultured, like a pearl.
Well, thank you so much, and you all have a wonderful evening.
You as well, Philip.
Thank you, Philip.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Oh.
Misfire.
No, it's not a misfire. I just kept dropping the rock.
All right. There you go.
There we go.
All right.
Those rocks.
So we're losing callers left and right.
But the thing is, though, is I think there's been people just dropping the calls. So and I don't think it's been on our end over here at all because I'm not seeing it here.
That's all right. Let's get this last one in before we go to another call-in segment. Actually, we're going to do a couple of needs to do before that, but let's go ahead and get her on the line. She is from Vancouver. Please welcome Cynthia. Cynthia, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, you win the Endurance Award for this segment. You actually stayed on without dropping your phone call.
So totally lucky. So the poem I have tonight is a cover.
Okay.
And it's from Poetic Portions, the poetry cookbook that I edited that just came out.
Okay.
And the poem I have is from my friend Rob McLennan. He's an amazing Canadian poet. And this is one he wrote when his daughter was still in the womb, and he was listening for her sounds and her voice and her music. What will the music of her voice be like? So it's called The Key of N from Glossary of Musical Terms. Dividends, bewildered powers, stretch marks, nursery, secondary heartbeat, listen, blood pools, pulse, the powdered structure, spilling forth, grammatic, slowness, slowness of the ground, the passage, seasons fall, belonging to, fragments, disappear. The sun sometimes divides. Music, pressure points. Take pleasure in, or run on, run off. Sentenced is the theme of voice. Montage, a vessel. What? You hold her. Listen, pulse. Attention all. As if to recognize. End poem. That's the end.
Nice. He's very talented, too.
That was a beautiful piece.
You should get him to call the show.
He's one of my favorite poets. We used to do poetry in Ottawa about 25 years ago at all these tiny little events. And he's gone on to make quite a name for himself here in Canada.
Really?
And, yeah, and you should have him call the show as well.
I would love that. I want to get more Canadian poets on here.
Yeah, we'd actually love that too, to be honest. We really would.
Poets from anywhere, but
well, it is world
poetry. Poets from all over, but it would be nice to have more.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. We agree.
Cynthia,
especially different styles.
Yes.
Like he's more prose poetry, which I find really interesting.
So
interesting.
Would you call that prosetry?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, Cynthia, that was an amazing read. It was beautiful and very lyrical, and I know you breathe your own life into the reading. So thank you for the read as well.
Thank you.
That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Was that a homing baseball?
I burped.
Oh.
I don't know how to describe this.
I swear, you just keep slurring your hands over the keyboard and...
Nothing good happens when I do that.
Nothing good happens.
So we have several things that we're going to be doing before the beginning of next segment. You have a couple things to share?
Well, yeah, I've got two. Are you doing a submission?
I'm going to do a submission this morning. Right. Yeah.
So, I've spent a lot of time reading my own poetry. I've spent a lot of time writing my own poetry in the last few days. However, this one I think I'm going to read... Let's read a poem from our World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month for National Poetry Month. He is Raj Kumar, and this is one of his. It's a brevity poem called Crescent Moon. Northern lights hover. Ocean of sky emulates. Crescent moon stands still. Stars hidden by clouds. Crescent moon rules nightly sky. Silhouette of trees hide. Crescent moon alone quivers in sea of darkness. I see Ramzan Eid. And that was Raj Kumar.
That's cool, man. Yeah. I like that one very much.
You know, for a brevity poem, I've got to say, Raj Kumar, he does a lot of the brief poems and just throws down. I've actually been in a couple of contests where he and I both write brevity poems. I'm like, why didn't I think of that? You know? So.
But that's some of the cool stuff when you're working with other artists and they do something. You're like, God, why didn't I pull that out? But it's...
Would it be called poetic envy or idea envy?
Yeah, I wonder. What do you guys think? Everybody's in the chat room. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna go and do one now. Okay, this one was actually submitted by a longtime listener to the show, which is Don Hagelberg. However, this is from Mikis Theodorakis, called "Take Me Away for Torture and Execution." It's from The Sun and Time. I am not a poet. But the inside voice hammering nails of words into the wooden cross of thought. I can do nothing less than whisper dreams which resurrect the spot of light on humanity. I am the action artist dressed in blood. I suffer especially for those who torture me, those who hate me as much as they hate the presence of their own death. I look the sun in its inflamed eye and see the stench of dead teeth. The stench of dead law. I dream of jasmine, but get pricked instead by dried cactus and by the stench of prison cells. I die nude, without erections or pretensions.
Wow, great submission, Don.
It is a great submission. Now, I'm kind of confused because after the poem, it actually does say Don Hagelberg as well. So it might have been... And it kind of sounds like his writing.
It does. It's got the telltale signs of his vocabulary.
Right. So it says, "Take me away for torture or execution from The Sun and Time" by Mikis Theodorakis. However, that might be by Don Hagelberg. Don, we're not exactly sure. Maybe you can clarify for us in the next show. We'll bring it up then.
Yeah. Shed some light on that mystery for us.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a mystery.
I'm going to do one more. This one actually is the latest off the desktop of Mr. J. Todd Underhill.
Who's that guy?
Some jackass that hosts a radio show. This is my National Poetry Month entry for today, the 3rd. This is entitled A Spring Dance. The Bloodstone Circle has been cast, chanting rites and incantations. The time is coming all too fast, the wondrous cosmic elations. In a field within the night, the bloodstone circle has been cast. Now the pale orb takes to flight, and crisp and clear is the forecast. Under the Milky Way so vast, merrily dance in the spring. The bloodstone circle has been cast, and unto the moon we now sing. As solemn prayers now cross my lips, now tucked away and unharassed, celebrate the lunar eclipse. The bloodstone circle has been cast. Thank you.
I like that one, man.
Yeah. There's like an element, there's a slight element that was stolen from Night Vale, but the prompt was for the lunar eclipse that's happening, you know, at 4 o'clock in the
morning. Tonight, yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'll be dead asleep at that
point. I will probably be up watching it.
Yeah.
I'll probably have a bottle of wine next to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Not me. I've been
playing guitar
way too much.
So. I'll play guitar. Actually, that's probably what I'm going to do. I'll get a bottle of red wine, play guitar outside.
Acoustic cover of Ozzy Osbourne's "Bark at the Moon." I got you. I'm with you.
Naturally, how did you know?
I know. Just do it.
I'll just play it over and over and over and over again until I see the eclipse.
There you go.
All right. Sounds wonderful.
All right. So that does it for segment one. If you're trying to reach us and you want to call in and share your poetry, now is the time you're going to want to call in.
Right.
Remember that number. It's 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
You're going to want to call now. What the heck was that?
Hey, you know what, man? The Backstreet Boys are a very talented group of musicians.
I know, but...
Have you seen them dance?
That's the last time we let the Half Squatch put together the music list, and then walk out of here like he dropped a grenade in the room.
That's exactly what happens. He comes in, he's like, oh, I've got the music all figured out. Just hit play. It's no problem. And now I'm getting crap for it in the chat room.
Exactly. Backstreet Boys, come on.
With a Z.
My daughter was going to marry AJ at one point in time. Of course, she also said she was going to marry Rum Tum Tugger from Cats at one point in her life.
Did I ever tell you your daughter has amazing taste in men?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't have told her. I actually do. I'm like one step away from AJ from Backstreet Boys. I actually have a friend who's really good friends with him.
So you're like 1 degree of Kevin Bacon from Backstreet Boys?
No, I'm one jump from Kevin Bacon for a totally different reason. But yes. Yeah, we got that covered.
Wow.
Yeah, but from AJ, I mean, her dreams can still come true.
So that makes me two jumps from Kevin Bacon.
Well, yeah, but that's the only Bacon that you're two jumps from. All the other Bacon I've seen, you are face first in, my friend.
Exactly. Knee deep in Bacon.
And knee deep. I am waist deep in Bacon, yes. And I'm happy about it.
Well, you know, Bacon is a natural antidepressant.
Is that really what it is?
You ever been depressed with bacon in your hands?
Yes, I have, but I was not depressed afterwards.
There you go.
I've been working out, and I've been really kind of committing to my health and fitness recently. Yeah. And talking to someone going through the diet, one of them was mentioning, you know, you actually can, you know, looking at the diet the proper way, you can have bacon on a pretty regular basis. Bacon's really good for you if you're, you know, eating the right stuff with it. And I thought, what?
What is this madness?
What is this madness? And then the next thought was, I am completely sold. I will be the healthiest man of all time.
I must be the healthiest man of all time.
And I will carry bacon with me at every moment.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we've got 11 of the best lined up again for you. So, wow. Another all-star lineup.
I'm happy about it. I think this is going to be cool. It's going to be a good time.
We're going to go first to Barbara from Connecticut. Barbara, are you still with us?
All right, let me bring it up.
Sorry. He lost his mojo talking about bacon.
I got to get it together. Get it together.
Your hands are greasy. That's what it is.
Well, you know.
Yeah. All right, now we're going to go to Barbara in Connecticut. Barbara, are you with us?
There you are, guys. Okay.
Welcome to our show.
Now, Barbara, you had bacon tonight?
So
what's going on?
I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here.
And I'm so excited because it's April. I'm so excited for this month. I love this month so much. And because it means that it pushes me to write a poem a day. And
yes.
So I have actually written three new poems this week. And I was going to read one that's kind of, you know, I think I'm going to read the longer one, and it's kind of funny. I think it's funny. Anyway, I go to this site called Poetic Asides, which we discussed on the show, right?
On your show, yeah.
Yeah. And Robert Brewer has these prompts up there, and this one, he said to write a poem about machines, so this popped into my head, and I have no title for it, but you can probably just call it Machines. Machines surround me in my life. They should save me time, but mostly they create an illusion that time is shortened. As yes, the food processor pummels food to a paste or chops it for you in a second, but think of the time you must take to wash it in the dishwasher. Also a machine designed to save you time. But really, think of how long it takes to load and unload. And then there is the mixer, such a saver, but really by hand is only a bowl and a spoon, and much the same result. Don't get me wrong, I love my machines. And what would anyone do without the coffee made in an instant, one cup at a time? Definitely doing its job and saving time with no muss and no fuss. If everything was as simple as my Keurig and its finesse. Wait, I have to go spend some time in my favorite machine, my car, purring like a well-maintained cat and moving me to places I might have used my feet to travel to. But why do that when I can sit in the comfort of a stuffed leather seat and glance at the scenes as they sway past my vision.
Very well done, Barbara.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just threw that off, I guess, because I was looking at all the machines in my kitchen and thinking, what, you know, do I really need those?
Yeah.
Thank God. So you guys are actually having a third segment tonight?
We are. We're doing the After Dark, where it's more adult. The gloves come off, so to speak. Unprotected poetry.
The gloves and other things come off.
Yes.
I actually have a poem for that.
All right.
I do.
And, nice.
And I would like to say happy Passover to all my Jewish friends and anyone who celebrates Passover, and happy Easter to everyone who celebrates Easter. And I know this was Good Friday, and, you know, I know it's kind of a holy day for you, and I should have had a Seder tonight, but I didn't. So we're having our Seder on Monday, and I have to do all the cooking this weekend, so.
Oh, goodness.
Well, listen to a replay
of the
show.
So you do need those machines in your kitchen.
That's right. I'm going to use all my machines this time.
There you go.
I hope they don't rebel against me for that poem.
Hey, you know, if they do, that would be one hell of a poem for next week.
And it would be one hell of a horror movie called Maximum Overdrive. You should actually watch that.
I don't think I could. I don't like horror movies at all.
Don't watch the horror movie.
All right.
No, no, no. No horror movies for me. I'm going to get off and let number two get on. And thank you guys for letting me get on. I'm so excited.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Talk to you later. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And actually, you know what? Maximum Overdrive, much like we joked around about Armageddon being a two-hour music video for Aerosmith, Maximum Overdrive was actually a two-hour AC/DC video.
But that sounds fun.
It was disturbing.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
Maybe Radio Angry should do
should
that.
Radio Angry do that one?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we can do it. Okay.
It's an Emilio Estevez. You guys should do like Emilio Estevez films for like 1 week.
Oh, my gosh.
Brainchild.
Is that a saying? Is that a thing we say now? Brainchild.
Well,
something comes up.
When, yeah.
I'm so excited. No,
my frontal lobe is having contractions. But, yes, it's a brainchild.
Can I tell you how excited I am for After Dark tonight? I'm just so
I'm just
unbelievably
excited to be
pumped.
Here. You remember the last time it was just you and I? How excited I got.
Yeah, you really did, man. What is it? Is JT like Valium for you or something?
No, no. Actually, to be honest, that one I had an excuse because I had just gotten out of the whole unemployment line thing.
Right.
This one, I'm excited because it's National Poetry Month. People all over around me are blessing me, letting me see their creations, their poetry. You'd be surprised at how many poems I've had dropped on my wall on Facebook. And I'm like, nice. I really enjoy what I do.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? And so do I. This is a great time.
Let's get to someone else we enjoy.
All right, 1 second.
Who are we going to?
We are going to Lorraine.
Lorraine, are you with us?
I certainly am.
Awesome.
I'm here. I'm going to do a fast one this time so everybody else can get in. It's called Miss Forecast,
okay.
Written back in 81. I sat with you in the eye of the storm, only to find it safer outside. Unable to hear the roar of my senses, till the winds had calmed and the air had cleared, and the damage apparent was more than I feared. There's no insulation from such devastation when logic departs, and the only ears listening are those of the hearts. The end.
There's like five buttons to push right after every poem, so give me a second. It usually takes me a second.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm sorry, Lorraine.
Considering whether to call.
No.
We're sitting
back. Pregnant pause is actually us trying to get everything we need turned on. And we're not talking about After Dark either.
I hear you.
That takes twice as much work. Well, Lorraine, that was great. We in the silence, you know, we like to let people think that we're just sitting back and silently judging you, but in reality, we're just
but
scrambling.
But that's not
to
what's
buttons.
Going on. No. Yeah, in fact, I wrote a poem, Three Amigos, but I have to finish it for next week, so it's about you guys.
Oh well, thank
oh, really?
You. You know, it's funny is
yeah,
that, that
I,
film
I'm
is
including
very close.
Three sponsors, but I got the Nature's Box and I got the snoring thing. But what was the third sponsor?
Knet Books.
Knet.
Yeah, K, like the letter K, and then
right.
Net, like on the World Wide Web, net, and
okay.
then books.
It's kind of like
got
if you had
it.
A net in the shape of a K, it would be a very ineffective net.
How can I convey that through? No, that's going to be a tough one.
I don't know.
I hear you, though.
But, you know,
okay.
one of the things that's cool about poetry is it's a creative medium, so I'm sure we can come up with something.
What? Poetry's supposed to be
and
creative?
And we'll have to use a few mediums on that one. You guys get ready for the next hour.
Oh, we're
ready.
Getting ready.
I'm ready.
I got my flog out and everything. We're getting ready.
Oh, God. And the thongs are on and, you know, all that stuff.
He's got his thong
and
on and he's
no,
got his...
I'm wearing 33 thongs right now.
And he's got his gold-plated writing
you
crop.
I wonder why fat women wear thongs. That was one of the things they put...
You know,
I feel like walking up to him going, what's wrong with you?
That's probably, you know, I've seen firemen's calendars. I know. Okay.
Wait, what? What?
What?
Okay. Hey, by the way, I want to tell you that firemen probably do not wear thongs when they're rescuing people.
They
just
don't.
Just throwing that
they
out
don't.
There.
It's,
you know
it's
this
from
for
the
fact.
Waist up.
Only
it's
on the calendar.
Oh, from the waist up. All right, Lorraine, yeah. let's get off the air before we get each other.
Okay, let's get another
All right.
subject.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Okay,
talk to you soon, bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic. Wow, talk about losing control. You know, if our producer were here, we wouldn't be this out. Well, yeah, we probably would be out of control.
Oh, sorry, I just totally just dropped the rock.
Oh, well, let me try that again. World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio.
All
there
right.
you go.
Better. Whew.
We're more in sync.
Whew. I want to say something.
See,
it's interesting. There.
Backstreet Boys in sync.
Backstreet Boys in sync.
There
you Kevin
go.
Bacon's. By the way, the chat boards have been buzzing with activity about bacon.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that. They say bacon makes everything better. Have you ever taken the time to put bacon on a Justin Bieber CD? I don't think that's going to work at all. I'm just saying.
Well, he's from Canada, so it might be Canadian bacon.
Oh, yeah, that's it. All right.
This is where bad jokes come from, people, is when we don't stop ourselves.
Yes.
That's what's going on right
we
now.
We need to learn a little self-control.
You know who's really good about self-control?
No.
In fact, she kind of, one would say she's almost someone who kind of teaches others how to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Let me get it ready here.
Sure.
And.
Who is it?
Let's bring on Lady Anne.
Okay.
Lady Anne, are you with us?
Okay, I'm here.
Nice. Yes, we're here.
Okay. Hello again.
Hello again. So soon.
Wow. I like that woman's poem about the machines. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Barbara's talented too.
Right. Wow. Thinking about all the machines. I have to agree with her though. All right. Well, anyway, I said all my big hellos. I'll just say one little one to some people I forgot to Stephanie Devaney, and to Terry Seal, and to Peter, I wish you a very happy Easter. I'll be quick tonight. So, the poem I want to read is called The Truth Hurts, The White Lie. I didn't read this, have I? You don't remember I've read this?
I don't think you have.
Okay, because I wanted to make sure. All right, this is the one I was having the toss-up whether to read, but I want to read this tonight. It's important. Okay, this is called The Truth Hurts, The White Lie. All right. Every individual has his own concept of truth, but who is to say if it is pain or pleasure? Truth is hardwired right to the heart. What's in a truth? Only the heart can measure. Reality in a truth can be diverse, negative, or positive. When the soul's truth appears, this then becomes the treasure. Why would anyone lie except to spare someone else's pain? So the truth now is divided and fractional. Can't calibrate another person's feelings or emotions, so the deceptive scene we paint is far from actual. Not stopping to think we may cause more damage than good, following intense pain when truth exacerbates factual. Truth is a universal constant and applies to all life. No matter how much one wants, truth cannot be manipulated. When confronted with the holistic, evident, and visible truth, finality demands that truth be capitulated. With our defenses down and hurt surrounds, truth is the hardest thing to be verbally stipulated. The truth always hurts when pulled apart by deceit, but loyalty to one's inner self allows dignity to rise above. When we want to escape the hurt looking out the window, wishing we could fly, spreading truth like the white-winged dove, remember that when our loyalty to our truth and to the Holy Father, our truth will, in the end, totally flourish into wondrous love. And the message of the poem is, hold truth to your heart and soul. It is your word. Thank you. I didn't know if you heard it. Did you like it?
Yes, I did like it. Hello?
Was it easy to understand, was it not?
Hello?
Are you there?
Okay.
Hold on.
All right. Whew.
Are we back on?
We back on. Okay.
I am literally on the floor right now trying to fish for what
you
broke.
You know what's awesome, though? You know what's awesome?
I think they got lost.
No, we're here.
That wasn't my fault.
Okay. Did you all have a problem?
Did you understand
the poem?
We do.
We did.
We heard the whole thing. Have a technical glitch that we just had to troubleshoot on the fly.
Yeah, the technical glitch is called our main host.
Okay, but you heard the poem, right?
No, we did. We heard the whole thing, and we thought it was great. We actually really enjoyed it.
Houston, we have a problem.
All right, you guys
need help, so I suggest you get someone else in there to help him.
Like a half squatch?
Wait, we need a half squatch. Is this your official opinion that we need help? Is this your professional opinion that we actually need help?
No, that you need help.
Wait, I need help or who needs help?
Yes!
I need help?
No, you're having trouble with the buttons.
Oh. Well, no, that wasn't the buttons.
No, that was the power strip that I kicked, yeah. And it turned everything off.
I wish you all the best of luck.
Hey, stop cussing. Hey, Lady Ann, thank you so much.
All right, I'll see you guys next week, and have a blessed week.
You as well. Happy Holy Week.
Thank you. That was
Lady Ann on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow, two of them on that one.
That was a two rock.
That was a two rock drop.
Man, a two rock drop.
Yes.
Okay.
Double holy hand grenades.
You know what happens? You take JT out of this, and suddenly we become a morning talk show.
We do.
That kicks power strips in.
Hey, you know, I'm not what JT is a great host. Now, mind you, everybody knows that we do this from the Half Squatch's house.
Right.
Great host. Miraculous setup to even get us on the air, but I need to point out a slight design flaw to him. When I stretch out my feet and I shut everything down, there's a problem.
Well, so the thing that people don't realize is this is all set up that he controls a lot of the stuff. So while it is explanatory, it's set up in a way that works for his brain and doesn't work for his brain. Or it doesn't work for my brain, I mean. And so as I'm going through, I'm kind of like, that doesn't make sense. I wouldn't. And so because I'm trying to do it on the fly.
Yeah.
I don't ever do it until we're doing it like this. So I'm going to have to practice more.
And only on a night like this would we find out that that's one of our weak points, is to have a power strip right underneath my feet.
That's the only time that's ever happened, too.
I know. And I always stretch my feet out and all of a sudden, boom, we go off the air.
You know, I think we sound more and more guilty the more we talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay. That was by mistake.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to the next caller, someone who's guilty with us just by association. Please welcome from New York, he is Leo. Leo, are you with us?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
How you doing? My gosh, I guess the JT cloning isn't working out that well tonight, is it?
No, Dolly the sheep didn't work so well either.
Well, we thought we were going to get a half squatch, half sheep, and what actually ended up happening was he was completely a waste of time.
Well, you know, it sounds like you was looking for a half squatch, and you're getting a little half squished there for a second. And
it's the story of my life, Leo. The story of my life.
I'm right there with you, Michael. I know how that feels, but it's good to be here tonight. I missed the last session. I just came from going out with my son. He's visiting from Florida. And so we're hanging out, you know. But you know, I told him that I needed a therapy session so that I continue to hang out with him without really getting in too much trouble, so he understands.
Well, why didn't you bring him along with you? We could have made it a group therapy session.
Oh, he's here, but, you know, I got to ease him in, you know, because he's actually thinking that he's doing me a favor by playing his video games. He says, I'm giving you your time, so I'll play the video games for you. You know, I mean, he had a big heart, you know, so he'll play his video games as a sacrifice.
Such a giving son.
He's got such a big heart like his dad, you know. I mean, I'm so proud of him, you know.
Yeah, I would be too.
So then let me just jump on in here and see what I can muster up here. I have one here. I haven't been writing so much these days. I have one here called Never Give Up. And let's see what you guys think about it. Of course, my usual routine, forgetting my glasses. So let me, okay, right here. It's been so long. So long. The feeling is so strong. But there's no one it's gone to for quite a while. The miles I've walked to search for that heart has caught my attention. And I have to mention my lack of belief that this loneliness will cease anytime soon. My aches loom over the mate I'd croon for and let her swoon in my arms so that I'd never let her go. But alas, I can't let go of what I don't have. Whether it's where I'm headed, or actions of the past, it seems that my wants and dreams have been outcast. Replaced by the fast lane of today's game of fools. Training with tools that patch, but don't remove the cause of today's lacking relationships. What remains is the flaws, along with desired blindness, so as not to see that no matter how many others are wrong, I can only fix me. And if I'm not even happy with myself, then how can I find the wealth in another? And if I see no wrong in me, I'll still stay the same and put the blame on another. But I don't want to cover that type of ground. I want to do what allows a special one to stay around. And no matter what currents come around, we'll weather the storm. Because of what we've found in each other, we'll teach each other to never give up. And the first thing that we won't give up on is each other. End poem.
Very well done, Leo.
Wow.
Thank you. I was tripping a little bit over those words. It's been a while.
You were doing just fine.
Well, better you should trip over the words than a power strip and shut your radio show down.
There you go.
Leo,
very true, but you know, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, man, our thoughts have been with you and with your family and everything, and it's great to hear your voice on the air.
I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that. It's not easy to get up, back up in the saddle, but I'm getting there. And I mean, it wasn't helping to, you know, the Backstreet Boys song wasn't really helping that much, but I got past that too. So,
you know, yeah. It was, you know, it's one of those good things that when I'm answering the phones and I have my earphones off, I don't have to hear it. So I was kind of wondering what was going on.
That's a good, you see? Now, you know, maybe if they get a band called the Bacon Street Boys, well, then that might work out, you know.
We got some bacon ideas going on now, seeing how much everybody's like, oh, bacon. I'm like, hey, you know what, man?
I think my poem entry for tomorrow is going to be called Ode to Bacon.
And I think next Halloween my entire costume will be made out of bacon, but slutty.
Oh, well, that's,
so, you know.
Well, you're going as Lady Gaga?
Boy, there's some bacon tonight.
Ooh, I'm gonna have some bacon tonight. Damn it. My plans are all about bacon.
Ooh, you're going to be up till tomorrow, I think.
Yes.
I'll be feeling pretty bad about myself tomorrow. But tonight, I'll feel amazing.
That's right. That's true. All right, let me let some other artists take some time. to share their work.
Thank you, Leo.
You're awesome, Leo. Thank you, man. Looking forward to hearing from you again.
And go teach your son the ways of Halo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll be saying, "Halo, I'll talk to you later because I got to go play a game."
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. All right, man. Thanks so much. Later. Have a great night.
All right.
That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on.
Wow. Man.
Leo is strong. Everybody that's called our show tonight has been just through the roof. It's got to be National Poetry Month. It's just killing it right now.
It's got to be. I mean, that's the only explanation I have.
Poetic powers are unleashed upon the earth during April. Someone else who's got poetic power, please welcome back to the phone line. Who is this?
This is Goob.
Goob! I haven't heard from you in forever, my friend.
What's going on, J-Todd?
Not much. What's going on with you, brother?
Not a lot.
So you have a poem you're going to share with us.
Yeah, I got a poem I'd like to share with everybody and just kind of put it out there. My stuff comes pretty sporadic, so it's far and few between, but, you know, when I know that there's a warm and welcoming place to share it with, then I try to do so. I want to start off with just a thought, more than, you know, any type of poetry or anything, but just a thought that, you know, last month really kind of was something that was heavy on my heart or kind of just heavy on my mind, and it was a post that I put, you know, up on social media, but I said, "So much is spoken about truth and honesty in this world. What is not spoken about is the idea that we no longer feel safe in our own lives to speak truth and to be completely transparent with those in our lives. So be a safe place for truth and encourage honesty. We're always being told to be truthful no matter what the consequence. And that's a great thought. But how much in our lives do we encourage either our family members, our loved ones, our own children to be honest with us, gut level honest with us, and know that no matter how much it may initially shock us or hurt us, how much do we encourage them to still be truthful and honest and upfront with us? Because ultimately, that's the best policy. If people don't feel secure in doing so, they're always going to hide things. They're always going to try to sugarcoat things. And that's not always what's the best policy. So, again, just be a safe place for truth and be a safe place for honesty. What I'd like to speak with tonight or what I'd like to share with tonight is I've entitled Speak Love to Me. I hear your words of adoration, but I do not hear your love. It has been too long since I have experienced love stolen in a secret touch or silent moments together. I crave the poetry of your presence, uninterrupted by the worries of the world or the blare of outside distraction. Your love is most clearly bestowed when you show me that my company is something hungered for. I do not wish to steal you away from the world entirely, but just moments that can be called our own. My jar is running dangerously low, almost empty. Please do not let it run dry. Fill my jar so that I might more readily see your needs and fill your jar as well. With this practice, we can keep each other full and even running over. Let me hear your love for me by purposely making time for your presence and to enter mine. I do not want baubles or great deeds done in my name. I do not wish for songs or great praises. Only your most precious of treasures will do, your time. Please speak love to me in a language that I can understand. I will do my best to speak love to you fluently as well."
Goob, great piece.
And that was actually inspired, it's a book, I believe it's, I can't remember, it's 5 or 7 languages of love.
Okay.
And just talking about, you know, each person experiences love in a different way. Some people need that verbal affirmation, and other people choose to feel love in, you know, just different ways. And being sensitive to those people in your lives, you know, need for love in their own language.
Yeah. Very powerful message, Yagoob. And I don't get to say it very often, but thank you for being such a good friend to me and to my family. Thank you very much.
It's been an honor. It's been my pleasure.
Don't stop calling our show, brother. You've got great words to share with the world.
Thank you very much. You guys have a good show, and look forward to the rest of everybody else that's on tonight.
Awesome. That was Goob on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Man.
Wow.
A couple of poems in a row.
Yeah.
Incredibly effective.
Yeah. Wow. Just, I'm dumbfounded. Goob, great job.
That was really something.
All right.
Man, okay, so let me get queued up here real quick.
That's right. We're going to go from Colorado.
One second. Let me get ready here.
Yep.
All right, so.
Where are we heading to?
I think something got messed up.
Is it Ohio?
No, I believe we're going to. Here we go. I know where we're going. All right.
Where are we going?
So we're going to Marcia.
Marcia.
And let me pull her up here.
Marcia, are you with us?
Oh, yes.
Hey, your phone held out this time.
Yes, it did. Thank goodness.
Thank you for calling our show. We're anxious to hear what you got to share with us.
Well, okay. I'm going to share this poem. It's called When Love Hurts. When love hurts... Wait, excuse me. Let me start over. When love hurts, the title. Okay. Love hurts when it leaves, when it walks out the door and takes your heart with it, when it is no longer reachable, when only its memory lives on. Love hurts when the finality of its loss closes in, when there is no way to avoid coming face to face with the emptiness left behind, when the pain becomes physical and unstoppable. Love hurts when it goes and leaves you behind, when the knowledge of its irreplaceability sets in, when its comfort and support are no longer there. When love hurts, the world stands still, breathing is difficult, all seems unreal. The heart will mend, but it will remain a broken, glued back together heart. It will love again, but it will never forget the love it lost. Hello?
We're here. We were just listening.
Yes, that was a great poem.
Well, I have to tell you a little bit about that.
Okay.
That poem is, you know, it can be generalized, but it's very specific. It sounds a little bit corny, but it was for the loss of our very, very dear little dog. He died in December, and it was really, really difficult to lose him.
Yeah. It's very difficult to lose a loved one.
That doesn't sound funny at all. To me, that is,
yeah.
As a family member.
Are you with us?
I am. I'm having a little... hearing. I don't know if you're hearing me okay.
Oh, we're hearing
hearing you just fine.
Oh, good. Okay. I didn't catch the last
Michael said
statement.
It's not funny at all. It's like losing a family member because a dog or a cat or a pet is a loved one just like a family member.
Well, he was the coolest little Italian greyhound. We'll never forget him. He's buried in our backyard, which I thought would be very heartwarming to look out and see his grave. But I tell you what, it took me 2 or 3 months. I mean, it happened in December, and I can just now begin to look out there. And, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard. But anyway, thank you for letting me share.
I mean, Marcia, no problem. I got to say, you caught Michael's attention when you said Italian Greyhound. His ears perked up. He was like, what?
Oh, and do you have one, Michael?
No, he is an Italian Greyhound.
Oh, he is. Yes. Yeah. I see. Okay.
Don't listen to this man. Don't.
I won't listen. I will.
Okay. Don't pay attention.
Thank you, Marcia.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. That was Marcia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Now, no, I was going to tell you real quick. My brother-in-law up in Montana wrote me on the first day of National Poetry Month thinking, okay, maybe J. Todd doesn't know that this is National Poetry Month. And he writes me this short little thing. He's like, so what does a poet do to begin National Poetry Month? So I was...
I'm
going to
put you on hold, right?
I was thinking things through, and I'm like, what do I do? And then I remembered that I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, wrote my first entry for National Poetry Month, and then promoted the radio show, and then on top of everything else before going to work, I decided I was going to whip out the clippers and shave my head. So that's what a poet does. He gets down to fight and trim and gets ready for 30 straight days, a poem a day, and throws down. Anyway.
Okay, hold on for me.
Michael, I had a question for you about Italian Greyhounds, if you got a moment.
Yeah, one moment here. I'm just getting ready.
You're just getting ready?
Okay.
Here. Yes, sir.
Knowing you as well as I do.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you think Italian Greyhounds can bark without using their paws? I'm just saying.
I believe they can, and I believe that when they do, it is a glorious operatic noise. I loved hearing the story about the song Mattinata, because I was an opera singer for a long time. And there's a story about this journalist who is traveling down this beautiful road in Tuscany alongside this house. And he pulls up alongside the villa, and there's these trees and flowers, and it smells amazing, and the sun is just beating down, and it's beautiful. And he goes inside, and... The Di Stefano, who is an opera tenor, was singing, and he just finished this beautiful, beautiful piece. And if you know the piece Mattinata, it is gorgeous. At the very end, he finishes in the no crescendos and just hangs there. And then an old Italian man sitting in a chair goes, "Oh, Di Stefano, you sing like a son of a bitch." That describes my Italian family so well, I think. Yeah.
I like your Italian family.
I do, too. I'm kind of partial to my... Well, I'm partial to both sides of my family, actually.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
that being said, now that I've bought you time to get that caller recued...
Now that you have stalled like crazy...
I know.
Let's go to Holly.
In Georgia.
That's right.
Holly, are you there?
Hi.
Hey, hello. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
You're going to want to turn down your listening device? And it's your turn.
Okay. Well, this is a poem that was actually published this week at the Hobo Camp Review, and it's called "Somewhere My Youth Lies Rotting."
All right.
When I think about the roads that lead home, I know exactly where they'll lead, to a house long crumpled with a makeshift pet cemetery placed on a barbed wire hill, where tulips shall never grow and an October orange cat lies rotting along with my youth. Like a hypodermic needle to the heart, my mind turns to Griffin, and a black pot-bellied puppy, breathing and whining and wanting so desperately to go home that the noises he made sounded so human, while the room around him filled with laughter at how bad he smelled and at his frail attempts to communicate in words that we could understand. "I want to go home," he whimpered. Not long after that, the puppy died. I can't remember how he smelled. I remember only his cry, and that I was part of the laughter, which seems so sinister now as it wakes me during a summer nap. I can't help but wonder if people laugh at me for the same reason. and poem.
Another great. And congratulations on being published.
Thank you.
Wow. And what was the name? Where can we find that work again?
It's called the Hobo Camp Review.
Okay. When you first said it, I'm like, Hoboken. And I'm like, that's New Jersey. What are you doing publishing in Jersey when you're from Georgia?
Yeah, it's a hobo. It's just hobo.
Yeah.
It's like, thank goodness you're in Georgia, because if you're in New Jersey, you should be focusing all your energy on getting out.
True.
And everybody in New Jersey is nodding their head like, yes, you must agree. Get out.
We agree right now.
All right. Thank you very much, Holly, for calling our show. Are we going to hear from you during our adult segment?
Probably not, but it was fun.
All right. Well, then we'll hear from you next week.
All righty.
That was Holly on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know,
you're getting the hang of that.
I'm starting to get the hang of spinning around in circles here. And you know, by the way, I've been getting texts from the Half Squatch.
What?
I told him that you turned off the power strip, and he's like, "That's too funny." That's what
really?
He said. That's what he said. I'm actually not kidding at all. This is totally true. He thinks it's funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious,
yeah.
Man.
I should do it to him next week.
You know what I think you and I are going to do? Next week, I'm going to bring a plethora of whoopee cushions, and every time he sits down, just toss one on his chair.
There you go.
Every time. And we're going to record it.
How would it be different than when he normally sits down?
That's true, except right. we're controlling it, and it's much more pleasant than
that's true
than the other situation.
All right. So... Was that a...
It was just jazz, man.
You just
playing,
had an extra baseball sitting around?
I was just playing jazz.
All right. Playing jazz with baseballs and water. All right.
Hey,
please,
man, an artist works with the tools he's given.
There you go. Please welcome Amanda Holt back to the show. Amanda, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
You're
going to share a poem with us?
Yeah, the poem that I'm going to tell is about a mountaineer who very famous for climbing Mount Everest in 20s, and no one found him. His name is Sandy Irvine, and he was born in April, so I decided to, you know, tell this one.
Awesome.
It's called...
I said awesome.
It's called Chomo Longmo. Where were you, where was I, when you once lived, and I was not quite yet alive? Could have been a moment in time, when we crossed each other's paths and caught each other's eyes? Could there have been a time when you smiled at me, while your short blonde hair was lifted by the summer breeze, and the sound of the hum of bees played on in a nearby tree? Could there have been a time for you and for me? Ah, yes, how splendid you were, how splendid you are now, to make me cry and shiver. It just feels that I have met you somehow, somewhere, long ago, near your kingdom of Chumbalongma. Now she has become even prettier, from having devoured you up in poem. In poem.
No, we were just slow on getting the buttons pushed. We don't have our half squatch tonight, but thank you. That was a great, great entry.
Thank you.
Don't waste so long to call our show. Call us again, okay?
Okay.
All right. That was Amanda Holt on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on. Kerplunk.
Oof, boy.
Yeah.
What a night this has been.
What a night this has been. And we've still got 3 more poets for this
That's
session.
Right.
Let's bring it back home again. Let's bring it back to Colorado.
Bring it around town.
Bring it around town.
Bring it around
Wait,
town.
If we're going to do this, I need to put my SpongeBob glasses on.
Okay. Wait, you have a different pair? Oh, no, those are the same glasses.
Yes,
okay.
They are.
All right, ready?
Bring it around town. Bring it around town.
Wow, you know, I can't do that like you and JT do.
All right.
It doesn't work.
Please welcome Harley. Harley?
Yeah.
Hey, you're there.
Yep.
You made it through. Thank you very much for being patient with us.
No problem.
And you had a special poem you wanted to share for like 2 weeks and couldn't get through.
Yeah. I'm glad that I'll get to share this one with you guys.
I'm anxious for it. What is it called?
It doesn't have a name. I'm hoping you guys could help me with that.
Okay.
I wrote it for my sister. It was another one I wrote for her.
Which sister?
Brooke.
Okay.
The one that's a year younger than me.
Yes, I know who Brooke is.
No, well, the moon is. Poem. It says, we fight like cat and dog, but you're my ride or die till the day I die. You mean everything to me, and your love is the best thing in my life. My heart breaks when we fight, and I wish I could apologize and go back to the way we were. A guy isn't going to be the reason we fall apart or go our separate ways. That's going to be the day we say goodbye and go 6 feet under. What we share from the pain in our hearts, the tears and the laughter, a guy is the last thing I expected to split us apart. You're my little sister and my best friend, but most importantly, you're my ride or die. I promise I love you. You're my ride or die, I promise. I love you with all my heart. Brooke, Booker, or Punk, I don't care what your name is. As long as you're my sister and by my side when I need it, I promise I'll stay by yours. You're always going to be a pain in the butt, but the fact that you care enough to hate the fact that I'm living is what really matters. I'm going to have to leave you behind, and you'll have to find your way to the world alone. I can't always be there telling you that you have to be independent. Never hold back your tears, just let them flow. Because there's always going to be a time when you have to be strong for yourself. Brooke, you're not only my best friend, my sister, or my punk. You're my whole world, and no guy will ever separate us. I promise from the bottom of my heart, you'll always be my motivation for anything I do. I love you, Booker T, always and forever.
Wow.
Very well done. You can go with the title on that that's kind of like a play on a William S. Burroughs poem and call it Words of Advice for Young Sisters.
It's called what?
You can call it Words of Advice for Young Sisters.
I like that.
All right. There you go. Problem solved. Doom. Hit me a kadoosh.
Oh, you want a kadoosh?
Yeah. There we go. Right. Problem solved. Dunk that one.
We keep solving problems this way. We're going to have the problem of not enough baseballs.
That's true. And we'll have world peace. All right.
Solved.
Solved.
Brainchild.
Thank you, Harley.
No problem.
And we will talk to you next segment. Do you have an adult poem you want to share?
No.
No. Okay. Then next week.
As you shouldn't. Okay. As you shouldn't. Go along your innocent way.
There you go.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you, Harley.
Bye.
That was Harley on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. What, pray tell, was that?
I feel like I'm getting close to becoming the John Coltrane of those two buttons.
You are.
Just those two buttons, though, nothing else. Just really.
Oh.
You know.
The two buttons, and Lou Reed played those two top chords on his guitar, and that was pretty much all he had, so.
Hey, good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, all I need is three chords and the truth, man.
Yeah, three chords and the truth, or as Lou Reed puts it, anything more than three chords is considered jazz, and I just don't play that crap.
What a bunch of crap that statement is, though.
I know.
Just throwing that out there.
All right.
Speaking of someone who's actually like an artist who's, you know.
Quite the artist.
Who knows how to use more than just a few
chords. You know, on
just them. A few chords or a few colors.
Yeah.
She can use all the colors in the whole spectrum.
She is the jazz artist of poetry. Please welcome Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying all the deep pieces in this section.
I know. It's gotten really deep. So and that's not Michael and my fault this time.
I've got one along a Good Friday theme. I've been thinking a lot about brokenness.
And when I was writing this, a friend of mine from high school was going through a divorce. He's my first boyfriend. And we were just talking about how we're told in life we're supposed to have this perfect picture, the marriage, the house. We're in the middle of our lives, and what do you do when all that falls apart? And so I wrote this poem called Finding Home. At peace in the brokenness of lost expectation, we return to one another in the love of Christ. Made whole, simply in letting love heal, heart to heart, so much of our body memory holding one another. Saturn calling in the courage of your kindness, never intentionally hurting, giving the best of ourselves, forgiving our faults, mistakes, insecurity, and the years of trying too hard to be everything other than who we are. And pum.
Very well done.
Thank you. Wow. So it just came about because we're told that we're supposed to have all these things, and there's this illusion that when they don't work out like the outer picture, that we're broken. But in reality, we're always still whole. We're always still who we are. And sometimes when we shed all that stuff that we're supposed to have, we find who we really are.
Exactly.
I think that's a great point, and I actually heard it said once, beware of the image of the person you thought you were supposed to be.
Ooh, I love that.
That was such a cool realization for me at the time. I think you're saying the same thing.
Because when you shed all that stuff, suddenly you can be the artist inside, you can be the writer, you can actually be yourself without trying to be all these images.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to say, this show came about as my supposed life, the way I was supposed to be, kind of fell apart. And I was so thankful that the timing of the show came right when it did, and I was able to embrace the true artist that I am.
Yeah, I think after you move through the shock and the loss, amazing parts of yourself come into the world, and it's better.
Yes. Very much
it's
so.
Scary and stuff, but better, too.
It is scary, but it's fun at the same time. It's like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon.
Absolutely. And we don't need all those things that we're supposed to put on. They actually stress us and confine us.
Exactly. You are so wise, Cynthia.
So thank you, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Nice.
Man.
Deep section, this one. And, of course, we get our endurance award winner for the segment.
It's not really that much of an endurance, though, because her dog hung her phone up.
She got to go get some French fries, call back while I bought time.
She comes and goes like the wind, man. It's
like Gandalf. She comes and goes as she pleases.
It's all about, it's all for her. I get a feeling that it's all about the bacon, really. It's all really about the bacon for Mariah.
Mariah, are you there?
Just give her a second. She'll hear it. She'll hear it.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen to the phone.
Okay.
Hey, there we go. There. I know Mike keeps trying to find the mute button for me too, but he's never finding it, so it's all right.
It's okay. You know what I do that makes it work though is I just put a power strip at his feet and he just takes care of the
show. I'll mute myself. Yes, thank you.
No, just hang bacon out in front of him.
Mm. Yeah, I think at one point we actually had a meeting about the show one time, and he had a fudge sundae with bacon on it
and maple syrup.
That was a real thing that actually happened.
That actually sounds amazing.
It is very amazing. You should give it a try. So,
I'm craving bacon, and we have no bacon in my house.
Oh, come on! How'd you drop the ball like
You're in
this?
Texas. There's a Waffle House on every street corner. Go down there and ask them for some bacon.
We actually have a Walmart just across the street.
Oh, well, there you go.
They got bacon there. I'm sure of it.
My husband is sleeping.
Oh, okay.
I bet you could wake him up if you fried some bacon. He'd come right out of sleep and go, bacon.
No, I'd be a little scared to leave by myself because it's dark. And like 2 weeks ago, someone got shot about half a mile from my house.
Holy cow.
That's not good at all.
That's not good at all. But you could take your dog that hangs up your phone with you, and that way you're at least a little protected.
Yes.
All right. Do you have a poem to share with us?
Our dog. Yes. I've got it narrowed down to two for this week, for this segment. So I'm going to give you the titles, and then you guys pick.
Okay.
Got one called Love is No Emotion. And then we have Run, Little Child.
All right, Run, Little Child kind of piques my interest.
All right. I wrote this 4 years ago. So, run, little child, run. Run away from the terrors of night. Run away from your fears, and maybe your nightmares won't come true. Little child, be quiet now. Do not cry. Do not be afraid. It was only a dream. Come into the light. They can't hurt you now. If you do not sleep, you will not see the dangers of your dreams. Pray, little child, pray. Pray that the terrors stay in your dreams of night and your joy stays in the light. Pray that you won't be tired and will not sleep. Pray that you won't collapse, but will run. Run away from your fears, and pray for the light of the sun to shine down upon your face. Laugh, little child, laugh. Your nightmares are afraid. Sleep, little child, sleep. Run to joyous hopes and dreams as your fears fade away. End poem.
I'm glad I picked that one. Another really strong write for this segment.
Wow.
Wow.
Mariah, right. that was a great closing to the call.
That in ninth grade.
Did you really?
Wait, yeah. You wrote that 4 years ago in your ninth grade, so you're a senior now?
No, I am.
Oh, you're just out of high school.
Yeah, I'm 20.
See, my math skills ain't so bad.
Maybe you need to go back to ninth grade, friend.
Maybe I should. Learn that fuzzy math.
You can get some more bacon in those in those years, too. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, Mariah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Talk to you next segment.
All right, talk to you next. Then.
Oh, you've got an adult poem you're going to share.
All right.
Oh yeah.
She's like, I've been waiting for this all month.
I'm gonna read anything that someone sends me in the voice of Macho Man Randy Savage, just saying. Okay.
All right.
Mariah, thank you so much.
Yep.
That was Mariah on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio.
And they call the wind up.
I like that. All right. So last Sunday was a busy day. I was prepping myself for World Poetry or National Poetry Month.
How are you doing that? Is that where you gird your loins with some Crisco and a?
No, I wasn't wearing any bacon skirts or anything like that.
Oh,
I was
really?
Actually,
you weren't?
No, I was clearing my desktop of poems that were already in progress and cutting up shows and everything like that. One that I had referenced a couple times on the show that I was working on, I actually have completed. I'm going to read now, and this is entitled "Not Painless at All." Mike Altman is an errant, clay-brained miscreant. His words stain my brain once more. Suicide is only painless for the person committing the deed, not at all painless for those left behind. I wonder if this villainous loser is blind, or what it was he had in mind. No sense to this I can find. I've been left behind more than once, and it hurts like hell, you ignorant dunce. Even now, suicide deep down pains me. I am trapped while they are free. Time heals all the wounds to some degree, and all have gone to meet the banshee. Maudlin, CJ, Loki, Greensy, as I watch on with my weary poetic eyes, each brought their own demise. In action, I have grown to despise the worst mankind has known. No one should feel that desperate and alone. Suicide is one of the most painful things. The tears and sadness that it brings, like salt in wounds, it really stings. So pay no heed unto his words. He knows not of what he speaks. Mike Altman proves he is a frothy, boil-brained pignut. Alas, his lyrics, show unto this day.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's a powerful piece, man.
Well, Google Mike Altman, you'll understand. Anyway.
Okay. Well, let's do a submission.
All right.
Okay. This is from Joseph Palmer.
All right.
And let's go from there. He says he's 23 years old. He just moved to sunny Scotland in the UK. And he says this, and here's his latest poem. He says, to find him on Twitter at Joe Palmer TFN. Search for the unattainable. It is the only thing we seek. A chronic pain forever the same that plagues us week by week. The hunt for something more that stains the sorry days. It hurts to think we reach the brink till the pain subsides away. Our pursuit of happiness can take us to many places. Blue skies are euphoric highs that seem to come and go in stages. The endless quest for fulfillment that haunts our sorry lives, finding salvation in synthetic stimulation. So are the better times are emphasized. The insatiable yearn for more that we try so hard to meet. We mask our woes till the pain all but goes, a slight solace to keep us on our feet. Perhaps the purest form of pleasure is closer than perceived, simple creations for natural elation that surely we dare not to believe. This craving for contentment quelled with achievable desires, a nostalgic musk, red skies at dusk, that may ignite your inner fires. Let's manipulate our minds, deconstruct all false pretenses, a familiar face or warm embrace. Appreciate all that stimulates your senses. I'm not suggesting a simple path or an overriding cure, but joy is to be found in the beauty that surrounds. Better times lay ahead for sure. And that was from Joseph Palmer in sunny Scotland in the UK. Good job, Joseph. Thank you for the submission.
Yes. Joseph Palmer, thank you very much. Mike, good read.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, you see me balancing a laptop in one hand.
And, I know.
And gesturing as an Italian has to with the other.
Yeah. You were half quiet. I'm just kidding.
I was kind of subdued. My arm's a little sore. I can't really move it as much as normal.
Yeah. Well, when you get assaulted while you're at work.
That's not actually why, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you assault yourself.
Anyway. I got whipped in the back with a chain.
Yeah. And this time, it wasn't at the club.
The one time.
Yeah. All right. So, I've got one more. I'm going to share this segment.
Oh, come on.
This is actually one of your favorites of mine. This is entitled, Like a Boss. Own what you have to do as best as you can. Handle your business and smile. Stand up tall, a proud woman or man. No trials can ever tarnish or defile. Make your life what you want it to be. Magnify all the accomplishments. Walk on with heart light and spirit free, and go forth with utmost confidence. You are your own best friend, I say, and at times your worst enemy too. Do not succumb to the tricks life may play. Strive at all times to become a better you. Make this world your personal oyster. Harvest it and take some time to shuck it. When the tears threaten to make things moister, turn around and proclaim, I just don't care. Take the time to help others in need, but do not become a doormat. The ravenous sharks will come to feed. Tell them just where it's at. Make the most of the cards you are dealt. Play out the hand with intention to win. The pride will be better than any you've felt, and you will feel an irreplaceable grin. Turn the tables upon this life, pull a win from each and every loss, gain knowledge from pain and strife, and handle everything like a boss.
Very nice.
Thank you, sir.
I do like that one, man. I always have.
Just, you know, just be you. Be the best you can be. That's the only advice I can give anybody.
And when you go into negotiations with you know,
people, radio station personnel,
radio stations, whatever.
Make sure you have a Viking helmet.
Well, and when you walk out of there and they're crying, you're probably winning the negotiation.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the end of
World Poetry Open Mic proper.